FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is June 7th, 2017. So I remember watching a recent interview with now departed head of the FBI, James Comey, and they showed his computer, and he actually had a piece of tape over his camera lens on the computer. And this made me wonder if he can't stop people from hacking into his camera, or believes that it's possible. Otherwise, why would he be doing that? What chance do you and I have as regular Americans, regular homeowners? And the answer to that question is going to surprise you. It's very little. Nick Paris, I mean, you are back with us again. Appreciate that. You're an expert in IT technology and security. We see you all over the place. So thanks for coming back on, Nick. And oh, by the way, if you got a question or comment about this show or any others, email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. So Nick, it's good to have you back on the show.
Kerry, it's good to be back on the show. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, so we've got these homes, smart homes, and smart homes are only so smart when it comes to security, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And as you've stated, you know, we're getting more and more connected. Think about it. 5-10 years ago, the home was pretty autonomous. You didn't have any sort of connectivity between homes or between homes and appliances in the home and the original vendor. I mean, you know, so we're becoming more and more connected, and means more and more places we're open to or we're vulnerable to some type of attack.
Yeah, well, where I draw the line, Nick, is the smart refrigerator. I see no purpose for that whatsoever. It's the ultimate gimmick. And then the question is, if your refrigerator sees you're doing something illegal, can it be made to testify against you in court?
That's a good question. That's a good question, Kerry.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've gone a little bit over, but look, I look at what I have. I've got a smartphone hooked into my Wi-Fi. I've got a tablet, a notebook or two, and my desktop. And then my alarm is in there somewhere in the mix. The DVR is there. And I mentioned to you when there was that huge DVR denial of service attack where they hijacked millions of DVRs and turned them into weapons, I noticed that my DVR was acting funky. I couldn't do the fast forward while that attack was going on. That skip, 30-second skip, it wouldn't do it. I mean, we got all these devices, and what is the point of it all? And then each one of them, we're now coming to understand, needs to be secured, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. And if you left out a big one, which was a smart TV. So now you got your TV, which is smart. And some of them, you know, if they've got a camera sort of attached, just like you said, with Comey and putting the tape over it, you know, you kind of wonder, is somebody watching me while my silly TV is just sitting on and I'm in the living room? So, yeah. And a lot of these vendors that are putting these smart devices out, their impetus is not security. I mean, what they're looking to do is get this product out and be interconnected with you so that they can try to, you know, upsell you or cross sell you and you know, sell you other things. And unfortunately, sometimes they suffer the security issues. They don't look at, you know, what's necessary to keep you secure.
Yeah, very true. Oh, I just thought of one other thing. I have a radio. I have an internet stream. Radio, but at least that doesn't really go two ways. There is no means for it to transmit data back other than maybe what I'm listening to in the morning or when my alarm goes off. I don't know. I guess it could be hacked, but not getting any data that's really useful. But, you know, this goes also, Nick, with like you have all these digital subscriptions. A lot of them that go with these devices, and those are points of vulnerability too as well.
Exactly. I mean, you need to really, it's no longer, I mean, you kind of joke about the refrigerator, but it's one of those things that I bring up as well. You know, you're no longer just buying a refrigerator and sticking it in your house. I mean, now all of a sudden, if you're plugging it into the internet, yeah, I mean, it truly is a point of vulnerability. It may not be something that, you know, you're terribly vulnerable to. I mean, it's not a big risk, but it is another point. And you know, if you think that maybe your refrigerator at some some point might be able to talk to your air conditioning system or then talk to your security system. If they all start getting interconnected, then how do you know that if somebody doesn't hack your refrigerator, they don't end up hacking your security system and just bypassing it?
Yeah.
So we got to be careful in how much we're interconnecting all of these devices.
Oh, for sure. Hey, it's so simple now to put in a web-enabled thermometer. I mean, I will admit I have a web-enabled doorbell, which I really like a lot, but that's mm-hmm. only people coming up to the house, and then I can answer it on my smartphone, and they don't know if I'm in the house or a million miles away. I mean, there are good things about these technologies, but they could all be configured and hacked and effectively conspire against you. Imagine if you couldn't set your thermostat below 85 degrees and we're having like this heat wave. It could be injurious mm-hmm. to your health.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and the other big one, the reason I kind of brought that up was the other big one was they were finding that they could hack into these smart cars that were interconnected to the web. So, and they weren't doing it directly. They were doing it through the radio systems. So they would hack into the radio, and then from the radio, they were able to handle steering and navigation and brakes.
Wow.
And because those were, they were all connected to one main brain in the car. And so, yeah, maybe they didn't, you know, directly hack into the steering, but they got in through some other back door, and then they were able to get where they needed to. So it is a matter of, we've got to be very careful of, you know, once we start connecting all these things together, are they vulnerable to each other, and are they vulnerable by themselves?
Yeah, it's a great point. And you could just see the potential for mayhem here. That's why I would never have a camera in my house. I don't want any mm-hmm. cameras other than what's on my computers, mostly notebook, tablet, fold them up. Nobody can see anything. But within my house, surveilling it, I don't want it because what can happen here?
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree. And you know, it's just one of these things. I think it's on the consumer. When they go to purchase something, they need to ask these questions of, okay, is the manufacturer keeping up to date with security on this device? I mean, you know, so I get a TV, if I find that it gets hacked, I mean, are they going to patch it? Are they going to update it so that it doesn't get hacked in the future and all that sort of stuff? I mean, it's very important. It's just like a computer. You've got to ask those questions.
Yeah, you really need to, because what can happen could be, and obviously they're going to figure out a way to get into your computer from these devices too, right? I mean, is that a given?
I mean, if it's connected again, you know, if you're connecting everything in one network in your house, there certainly isn't to say something that they couldn't get from one to the other.
Right. So yeah, that one about them hacking the car, you know, a car like a Tesla is totally digital. It's getting upgrades constantly. I mean, sometimes weekly, and you have to come up with some means of really preventing it from being so susceptible to hacks. I mean, there's no such thing as foolproof security when you're dealing with computers, is there?
No, and it's an ever-changing landscape. So, you know, what might be in place today, you know, a week, a month, a day, you know, it may not be the same thing. And it's on the manufacturers to keep that up to date. And we as consumers, we need to demand that. We need to make sure that we're vigilant and keeping on top of them to make sure that they're doing their job and keeping us safe.
Yeah, so if you wanted to secure your home right now, Nick, what are three things you could do to stop from becoming a victim?
Well, it's a little old school, but like you said, I the first thing is I wouldn't put any cameras in the house. You know, that's for sure. I would unplug as much as necessary and be very careful about what you are plugging in and what you're you know, what you're putting in the house that's connected to the web, and make sure that you ask the questions when you make the purchases, and that you feel comfortable that at least you know what's happening and know that you can go back to the manufacturer and if there's a problem.
Hey, and like you said, these manufacturers up to this point have not been security conscious at all. The guys making the DVR box for Comcast, they didn't think about security at all up until that hack occurred, right?
Right. I mean, all of a sudden that happened, and now here they are, you know, really giving it the kind of effort that it really should have had in the first place. So I'm sure that they probably thought about it, but they, you know, again, you have the same sort of thought of, well, who's going to hack a DVR box? You know, what's the big deal about that? But then all of a sudden it happens, and like, oh, that's a big deal. So yeah, it's something that's got to be always looked at.
Yeah, and all of these devices are actually real computers, and while they haven't been set up to broadly communicate with the world at large, that doesn't mean they can't be used for that to that effect. And that's what we saw with the DVR attack. Nobody thought of it being used to attack websites in a denial of service scheme.
Right, exactly. Well, and you know, just like you said, I mean, the one purpose that they were set up for may not necessarily be what they're used for when they're used improperly. And so, you know, somebody has to sort of think outside of the box of, okay, well, the DVR does this, but you're right. It is basically a computer. And what happens if somebody gets a hold of that computer? What can they do?
Yeah, you know what it's like? It's kind of like with drugs. You know, the drug goes through testing at the FDA, and it says, okay, this drug is for migraine headaches. And then the doctors say, you know, it works for migraines, but it really works well for seizures. We're just going to use it for that off-label use. And they go ahead and start prescribing it for that, and it's totally legal. Now here, this is like an off-label use for a DVR, you know, hack it, hijack it, and use it to attack websites so that legal users can't have access to their data.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, absolutely. So you think that the manufacturers are getting wise now, though, Nick, and that they're going to take proper countermeasures, proper security?
I think so. I think it's a little bit on us to make sure that, you know, we are sort of saying to them, this is what you need to do. You know, we need to make sure these devices are secure. And I think that, you know, as things are happening, I think to others, you know, like one set of people creating DVR boxes, now they saw the attack and they said, you know what?
You know, are we doing adequate stuff to make sure that, you know, we don't get fall victim to what they fell victim to? So unfortunately, it's got to happen to one so that the others can start looking at it. And I think they are. But their main focus is not security. It's as you've been saying, whatever it is that they're manufacturing, whether it's a DVR box or a radio or TV or anything like that. You know, they're worried about getting that and making it the best they can. They're not worried about security.
No, not yet anyway. But I think they're becoming aware very quickly, and that's probably a good thing. Nick, if we want to find out more about you, website, internet info, where do we go?
Well, the best way to get in touch with us is to go to our website, which is www.alphacomputing.com. That's A-L-P-H-A computing.com. From there, you can fill out a form where you want us to get in touch with you, or our phone number's there. All kinds of ways to get in touch with us.
All right. Excellent. So we will have a link to that in the show notes to this interview on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. While you're there, sign up for a free newsletter. We do interesting articles on things that just don't get covered by the mainstream media, surprise, and email us questions, comments, etc. kl@carrielutz.com. Also, Twitter feeds @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network, and hopefully that won't get hacked again anytime soon. Nick, thanks so much for being on.
Carrie, thanks for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.